Hello and welcome to the YYC Soccer Podcast. My name is Jason Komet and my co-host is Scott Strasser. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Jason. How are you today?
It's a good evening so far. We're recording this on a Thursday night, and I think we're both looking forward to catching the match tomorrow. And yeah, a lot of talk about the Cavs this week, I think. So it should be good.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about regarding Cavalry FC. Last week, we mentioned at the end of our episode that we may switch up our order of topics this week and not talk about Cavalry first. But I think in this case, we simply have to because they achieved something pretty great last weekend.
Indeed. So if you are a new listener to the YYC Soccer Podcast, what's our podcast all about, Scott?
Our podcast focuses on soccer in Calgary. We talk about soccer at the amateur, collegiate, and professional levels. We talk about the local teams and players from Calgary's soccer community, everything from the grassroots and amateur leagues and teams up to the university and professional level.
And as you mentioned, Scott, we're going to have a pretty Cavs-focused episode this week. We're going to recap that match against York United last week and how that enabled them to clinch the regular season title. We're going to preview the upcoming match against Valor. We'll talk a little U21 minutes. And we also have an interview this week with Charlie Trafford of the Cavs. We're going to also do our weekly update on U Sports and college soccer.
As you mentioned, Cavalry clinched the CPL's regular season title thanks to their 1-0 win over York, coupled with Orge's result against Pacific, who were in second place, I believe. So mathematically, Cavalry is guaranteed to finish first place in the CPL regular season, which these days does result in them getting to lift a trophy. Back when they finished in first place in 2019, there was no regular season champion or anything like that. There was just the, I guess you'd call it the playoffs. But now there's a regular season title as well as the playoff championship to play for. So Cavalry has officially won their first CPL trophy, and they'll be lifting it at the end of the regular season when they host Pacific in a couple of weeks.
Any comments about that match last week against York United? I have to admit, it was a match I wasn't able to watch. So I think, Scott, you have a little bit more insight in that one than I do.
Yeah, I watched it. It wasn't honestly that thrilling of a match, but as Cavalry have shown in the last few weeks, they're able to do enough to pull out 3 points. They're able to build up a bit of a lead and then hold on defensively to ensure the victory. Highlights were Marco Carducci's performance in goal. I felt he was Cavalry's man of the match. He generated 4 saves, kept a clean sheet. Honestly, in the first half, York United looked like the team more likely to score. They were keeping possession pretty well, getting into Cavalry's box quite often, but they just switched off defensively at one random point, and Sergio Camargo was able to get in and score for Cavalry. And after that, like I mentioned, Cavalry was just kind of able to secure the win by just playing disciplined defense. I did think it was kind of poetic justice that Sergio scored the goal and Marco kept a clean sheet, because those two are the only remaining players from Cavalry's 2019 roster. So it felt kind of fitting that they were the ones who ultimately in this match helped Cavalry win the title. Now, we didn't know after that match that Cavalry had won the title. That was due to Pacific against Forge, winning that one 3-1. So Cavalry players actually found out while they were flying back home from Ontario that they'd won the title. And the club posted a pretty cute little video to social media of all the players celebrating in the aisle while passengers were just trying to fly back to Calgary. They're probably wondering what's going on, but it was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, I think in our upcoming interview with Charlie Trafford, he alludes to that as well. So the next match is going to be on Friday, which when this gets released, it'll be tonight. It'll be at Spruce Meadows and it'll be against Valor. And I guess really this is a match where from a positioning standpoint, it's not going to matter too much. But I guess one thing we're going to see is they still need to finish off their U21 requirement and make sure everyone is match sharp and match fit for the upcoming playoffs. I don't know what else to really say about looking forward to this one. I think those will be some of the main things.
Yeah, I imagine we'll see 3 or 4 U21 players fielded in the starting 11 so that they can cross that U21 minutes threshold of 2,000 minutes. But they could, like you kind of alluded to, they could use this as a quasi-warm-up game for the upcoming playoffs. you've got to stay sharp heading into important matches. It used to be a problem for Bayern Munich back during the Pep Guardiola and Jupp Heynckes years, where they would wrap up the league title in February, and then they would get knocked out of Champions League in the quarterfinals or semifinals because they just had little to play for on a weekly basis after that. So a little different here with Cavalry, but you figure they're going to want to use their two last matches as preparation for the playoffs, which get underway shortly afterwards, October.
And when you look at those U21 minutes, though, let's do the weekly breakdown that we've been doing. Just as a reminder, all clubs have to achieve 2,000 minutes of domestic U21 players by the time the regular season ends. After 26 matches with two to go, Cavalry has 1,845 minutes. So they are 155 minutes short. And if you average that out over two matches, it's 78 minutes a match. If you look at this past game against York United, I think they got right around that 78-minute mark. So I guess we'll see what the plan is going ahead. But if you want to just look at it this way, if Mael Henry and Gareth Smith-Doyle and Michael Harms, if they all started and they all played 52 minutes each, that would do it. So it seems entirely possible and that they could just wrap this up. And I actually think they will. I don't know if all three players will start. Maybe Harms won't start, but I think that they're going to make a point of finishing this. I don't think there's real jeopardy. It wouldn't happen if they'd wait till the last week of the season, but I think they're just going to put it to bed. That's my thought. What do you think, Scott?
Well, their last game of the regular season is against Pacific, who will be a playoff team. So maybe they'll want to use that match as more of a proper preparation game. And then this Valor one, which is really, there's nothing up for nothing at stake, really. So maybe a match against Valor. Or Valor, yeah, they're out of the playoffs.
They're out, yeah. They're playing for their contracts and their jobs, I think, at this point. I think that's really all they're playing for. There's no roadmap that can get them into the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, so it's a weird one because Valor's not really playing for anything. Cavalry's not really playing for anything. So why not use this match as the one to get that U21 monkey off your back?
Like, I haven't actually looked at the standings in regards to the other teams, but it's entirely possible that in that last match, it's going to matter to Pacific how they perform. What they do that last weekend might be the difference between maybe being in second or third, for example, and then who they match up against. But there will be a little bit more intensity probably in that match regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Forge is in second place at the moment, 2 points ahead of Pacific, if I'm calling the table correctly. And they're playing Halifax Wanderers, who are also in need of a good result or two to secure their spot in the top four. Yeah, Pacific will have something to play for on October 7th, I want to say, when they come to Calgary. That will be a great warm-up playoff match for Calgary.
For sure. So for our interview this week, we have Charlie Trafford from Cavalry FC. As probably most of you already are aware, he's been with the club for 2 years now. He's a Calgary native, and he played for quite a few years, various stops in Europe, and he's come back to Calgary and definitely one of the leaders and veterans on this team. And we wanted to get someone from Cavalry on podcast this week and talk about the clinching of the title here. And so we're glad to have him on board.
Yeah. Charlie's story is very full circle. Like you mentioned, he's a Calgary native, grew up playing for competitive clubs here, was coached by Tommy Wheeldon Jr. for a big chunk of his youth career, Foothills Soccer Club, and won a national U18 Tier 1 championship with Foothills Crew in 2009. And he talked about that a little bit after the title was clinched because, you know, his pro career really started shortly after that with a stop in Vancouver, followed by a stop at York University, followed by several contracts with clubs across Europe, including clubs in Finland, clubs in Poland, Scotland, and Wales with Wrexham. He kind of was one of those Calgary soccer success exports who, you know, managed to escape the city and forge himself a professional career despite all the odds. And it's been very poetic for him to return home. I think he's 31, so he's not in the twilight of his career, but he is in the second half of it, right? So to come back home and achieve something with your new hometown club, that's that's a great story. And to do it with the guy who coached you when you were 14, 15, 16, that's just a really great story. And that's why we wanted to get him in particular from Cavalry this year.
Okay, let's run that interview now. I'd like to welcome Charlie Trafford to the podcast. Charlie and the rest of Cavalry are now celebrating clinching first place in the regular season in the CanPL. Welcome to the podcast, Charlie.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Great. So first and foremost, how did it feel to learn that you guys won the regular season title? It was on the plane, right? Coming back?
Yeah, I don't know where we were when it happened, but yeah, some way between Toronto and Calgary, but it was a special feeling. You know, it was a bit like surreal almost, I guess. It made it feel like it didn't feel real, I guess, when you're up there. But it was pretty cool to be with the whole team up there. We all watched the game together. I'm sure we annoyed a few people on the flight screaming and cheering. But, you know, this is the reason one of the big reasons I came home is, and I promised Tommy we'd win a trophy and that. So it was a monkey off the back, I guess. So a big relief up in the air when we got finally news that it was done and dusted. So it was a pretty cool feeling. Yeah, like again, I said, to be with the whole team when we did it and do it like that.
So what do you think were some of the key factors that contributed to the team's success this year?
Of course, we've got some unbelievable individual players and everything like that. And I can go and name a bunch, but obviously guys like Klompy has had a season of one of the best players in the league right now. Again, Bevan scoring goals. We have such a strong midfield right now, which is so fun to play with. Me, Sergio, Jesse, Shamit. You know, we have good connections all around. But again, I think I keep referring back to this, but our team chemistry, like on and off the field, it was insane. Like we're literally a family. It's one of the best kind of environments I've ever felt in professional sport. I've played over a decade of professional soccer, and it's quite rare to get that. I think people from the outside assume, you know, oh, it's just, of course you guys play soccer together every day. Of course, it's like a great dynamic, but it doesn't work like that. It's such a competitive environment. You know, obviously when you're fighting for a livelihood, and one of the biggest opponents for that is your own teammate. So it's often very hard to have such like a tight knit group and that, but yeah, the team culture, our team chemistry, it's unbelievable. Tommy's done such a good job at building this group, at cultivating this culture here. Again, I give big shout outs to Spruce Meadows and the way the organization is run. But yeah, it's a special group, to be honest. And it made it a lot of fun. It made it easy to fight for each other, to run through a wall when we needed. Again, you saw us win games in the last minutes of games, defend for our lives. And when we're just because of our team chemistry, I think is a huge factor to that.
The club started off kind of slowly. They gave up some leads and drew some matches early on, but you've kind of gained momentum throughout the whole season. Is there any moment, like a turning point or a breakthrough moment, where you really felt like things were coming together and that you were going to get to where you're at today?
It's hard to say. Again, back to this whole team chemistry vibe, you know, from that first, like whatever it was, the first six games of the year, we tied them all and we scored first in all of them. So it could have been a moment to panic, but I think how strong our group is, we keep saying it, but we like, let's lean into this. We're playing well. Again, we've been leading in every one of these games. Like, they just need to fine tune a few things and we can get this right and we can go on the run we did. I'm trying to think of the moment it like changed. Again, the Ottawa game, it wasn't that long ago, whatever, 5 or 6 games ago, when we scored in the 97th minute. I think at that moment when we scored that, I think there was like a shift in mentality. Again, we knew this last run of games, the last 7 games, the last series basically against every team, we knew that was going to be a huge factor on this title race. The league was so tight up until that point, and we've not lost. You know, we've gone, I think, 4 wins and a tie or whatever it is in these last 5 games. So that would be one of the big moments. Again, there's been a few changes in personnel. We've like Mile Henry coming in from Vancouver as a young boy. He's been great for us. And I think he's been great in terms of like the team dynamic and that mentality, but it's hard to pinpoint a big, a specific moment beyond that, I guess. I think just we've been growing towards this and we've had such belief since the beginning that this is going to happen and we just needed things to click and it would go.
Okay, sounds good.
I'll give one other game. I think the Forge game at home where we beat them 3-0, there was definitely like We've not done that very often of going and beating teams by that kind of scoreline in like dominant fashion. We beat a lot of teams and we wear them down, but like, I think we played so well that game and it gave everyone in the group like an insane amount of confidence and stuff. And we said, okay, let's go and like do this properly and win this.
You have a really long relationship with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. and it dates back for many years, all the way back to, I think, U18s, maybe longer. So how does it feel to have reached this point with him?
Yeah, it goes back further than that. Since I was about 14 playing under Tommy. So it's been, yeah, again, we have such a good relationship. Like he's a role model in my life since then. He's been like, I don't almost want to say a father figure, as crazy as that is, but he, you know, I've spent a lot of time with Tommy throughout my whole life. So he's definitely one of my big role models and had a huge impact on my whole life and career. So it's very special to kind of come back and do this together. Again, I've said it on a few other interviews, but we joked about this happening when I was, I think, 17, right before I left for the Vancouver Whitecaps. Yeah, we joked about this and he said, you know, you go chase your dream. Go do your thing. I know you can go and make it and go play in Europe if that's what you want. And he said his actual words were that he was going to build an MLS team here. And so, but then he's gone and built an entire league instead. So I think it's pretty cool what he's done and he's fulfilled his side of the bargain. I went and chased my career and lived my dream and come back. I promised him I would, once he sent me the contract offer, I told him, I said, and I promised him a trophy. So I'm disappointed it took me a year that I didn't do it in my first year, but it is very cool to get it done this year. And again, the relationship with Tommy, another huge factor on the success of this team and the whole organization. And it's pretty special to do it together with him.
You alluded just a minute ago to this, but you spent a good chunk of your career in Europe. So how does winning this trophy with your hometown club, how does that rank when it comes to career achievements thus far?
Yeah, it's definitely felt like, okay, the word special keeps coming to mind. You know, it is so cool. I've said it again before that I've felt like the novelty of moving home would wear off and it just hasn't. You know, the club is doing such good things. It's such good people there. It's such an unbelievable environment to be in and work in every day. But to go and do this here, it is very special. Again, I have a few other moments of, again, getting in the national team and winning trophies in Europe. But this is, again, a moment where you feel like a key factor to the team and helping us get this trophy around all the people I love. You know, we have such a good group. My family, my friends come to all the games. Like it is so cool to do this. So I can't. Yeah, it still hasn't sunk in fully, I think. And again, our vision here is to win trophies and grow the game here. And I think doing this helps both go hand in hand and stuff like that. So it's pretty special.
I don't want to spend too much time projecting too far ahead, but. But how does it feel knowing the club's going to play in the CONCACAF League next year? I'm not sure if you've ever played in any international club competitions before or not, but how does this feel?
It's so cool. You know, it's such a massive thing for the club. It's pretty sweet to, I guess you see the Instagram posts and stuff like that, and you see the other teams that have qualified already, and to see the Cavalry logo up there and beside that is, you know, puts this team on the map and gives us big motivation for next year. It gives the club a lot of leverage and they're going to hopefully bring in more stronger players, you know, and it just helps grow this league. So it's special, you know, and again, you dream as a kid to play in Champions League. I'm not sure we dreamed of playing in CONCACAF Champions League, but I'm going to count them as the same, you know, so it's going to be, it'll be fun. It's a cool thing. It means we come back a bit early for our off season, but I think it'll be worth it.
What do you think that this trophy is going to do in regards to the fandom, the Cavalry fandom? It seems like attendance has been steadily growing every home match this year, and it seems like the popularity of the team is starting to reach the masses more than ever. So.
Yeah, again, I hope it just keeps growing. I give a big shout out to my cousin Mason. He's done such an unbelievable job on like the office side of things. Again, there's a whole team there. They're unbelievable. Ben Fisk is working in there as well. So we have such a cool team working behind the scenes and doing that and growing that side of things and our partnerships. But I guess winning definitely helps that. You know, people, this city is a very cool sport culture in Calgary and they want to be a part of winning organizations. So it does definitely helps it grow and pushes it in the right direction. Again, we have a city of over 1 million people. We want to be filling out that stadium 5,000-6,000 every week. And hopefully that will entice potentially management to expand the stadium at some point and keep growing the game. So again, we can't complain. We have such good fans. It's such a fun environment to play in front of. Our foot soldiers, everyone who comes out, you know, it's such a cool environment for families. I drag as many people out there as I can. And everyone loves it. So I'm hoping we're going in the right direction. And again, that it just keeps growing year over year and we keep getting it bigger and bigger. But like you said, it's a pretty special kind of environment and stadium out there. And I hope we're catching the eye of Calgary and hopefully it just keeps growing here.
All right. Well, I want to wrap up with a final question here. Charlie, do you have any message you want to send out to the supporters after clinching first place, or any messages to the young Calgary soccer players out there?
Yeah, we love our fans. Again, Tommy mentions it a lot. You know, it's mentioned a lot around the league, but how good our fans are, how ruthless we are at home. And a huge part of that is our fans. So again, we can't thank them enough. You know, they demand success from this club and that's why they're here supporting us for the last 5 years. And so it's very nice to finally deliver them some hardware and get them a trophy. And hopefully this is the first of many and we keep going. So I just want to say, yeah, we love our fans and we thank them and appreciate them coming out. And hopefully, again, we just keep encouraging everyone to keep dragging people out there and getting that stadium full, because again, the bigger we can get it, the more it'll entice our ownership to kind of keep investing in it, keep growing the game. And we're going to build one of the best clubs in Canada, maybe beyond that. So that's the plan. Again, and all the young people, you know, I didn't have this opportunity as a kid. There was no professional team here, and now there's a professional team here. So I hope this kind of encourages kids to come watch, and it gives them a pathway and a dream and a vision of where they can get to. And again, now we're seeing guys being sold out of the CPL. We've sold a lot of players over to Europe to big teams now. And so it's a very kind of visible journey now, and it makes it that dream a reality. And so I hope this entices kids to come out and cheer us on, but also kind of work hard and come and hopefully take my job one day.
All right. Well, great. Thanks for your time, Charlie, and all the best in the final two regular season matches and then in the playoffs and beyond.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot for having me, Jason. Hopefully, yeah, have a good one, and hopefully we'll see you around soon.
Thanks again to Charlie Trafford for taking the time to do the interview with us this week. Let's move on to post-secondary and U Sports. And let's start off with the women's side on U Sports. And for the Calgary-based clubs, Dinos Women, they played a couple matches. They had a win versus UBC Okanagan 3-0. And then they played Thompson Rivers U and they lost 2-1. For Mount Royal Women, they went on a road trip to Manitoba. They tied Winnipeg 1-1, and they defeated the University of Manitoba 3-1. For the men's side on U Sports, Mount Royal, they played UBC Okanagan, and they won 3-0. And then they had a big matchup against UBC, two top 10 national teams, but they weren't able to pull that one out. They lost to UBC 2-1. The Dinos had a couple losses on a BC road trip to UBC in Victoria.
Yeah, 1-0 and 3-0 for the Dinos. The Dinos women, they did snap that three-game winless skid that they'd suffered after originally starting the season on a four-game win streak. So that was positive, even though they didn't follow up their win over UBCO with a positive result against Thompson Rivers. And then, yeah, MRU's women, fairly decent weekend in Manitoba, getting 4 points against the two schools from that province. And definitely, like you said, a big, big match between UBC and Mount Royal. I think those will probably be the two teams in the finals of Canada West, depending on how the playoffs shake up. But looks like last week's podcast guest, Sebastian Jakowski, scored one of the Thunderbirds' goals in that 2-1 win for them. It did seem, based on the statistics, that UBC controlled a lot of the game. They outshot MRU 17-4. I thought it was interesting that David Schaefer had all four of MRU's shots in the match.
When I've been looking at the game sheets for these matches, it seems like he kind of is the go-to offensive guy a lot of the time on MRU. Now, I know Nico Moroniak has scored several goals and I'm not sure who's the goal-scoring leader, but it does seem like David Schaefer is kind of one of the main offensive cogs on MRU this year.
And I've wanted to watch MRU all season. I haven't actually watched any university soccer this fall. The newborn at home, it's been tough to get out of the house. But I do have Sunday free, completely free. So I am planning to get out to MRU and watch their home game. I think it's against Lethbridge, the men's team. I do want to watch them play, and I'm curious to see how Mroniak and Schaefer perform in that one if they're playing.
Let's move on to the ACAC, and we'll talk a little bit about Sate. The men's team, they had another win, 6-0 win against Medicine Hat College. They're 4-0, and they moved up from third to second nationally. So they're continuing on with their winning ways. On the women's side, Sate women, they had a 2-0 victory against Medicine Hat. They are 5-0 undefeated, and they are ranked 14th nationally, which is the same as last week.
And the Sate women's team will have probably their biggest battle of the regular season this Saturday when they take on the Lethbridge Kodiaks, who are the only other nationally ranked team in the ACAC South. And they're also also unbeaten in that conference with a 5-0 record. So it should be a really good match. Lethbridge is ranked 5th nationally, even though Sate has a better goal differential at the moment. Sate's goal differential is positive 36, while Lethbridge is positive 28. So they're both pretty dominant this season, and it should be a real battle of the heavyweights. I believe that match, we referenced it a few weeks ago, that it was taking place in Calgary, but it actually appears to be down in Lethbridge.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to finding out what happens in this match, because we've alluded to it earlier episodes of the podcast, but if Sate is steamrolling some of these teams like they are, but meanwhile, Lethbridge is ranked ahead of them nationally, I'm kind of curious to see what that means and how that all plays out. It seems like, at least, it should be a challenge for Sate after really not really particularly being challenged thus far this year.
Exactly, and they're on the road, so Lethbridge will have home field advantage. It would be interesting to see what happens to the two teams' national rankings if Sate did pull off a win down. So
we'll keep our eyes open on that one and see how it plays out. Thank you for listening to the YYC Soccer Podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast using all the usual podcasting platforms. Head over to our website at yycsoccer.com with more info about how to subscribe or to leave a question or comment. And you can follow us on Twitter at YYC Soccer 403. Thanks for listening.